a major league team in a major league city. The new crew.
This is to us. This is to Columbus. This is what this is all about. Unity, Columbus, history, the future, the new era, the new crew. Let's get weird. Let's get weird. Let's get weird. And it's all because you guys like to drink beer.
Live from Awesome Town, Ohio.
You are listening to the Massive Report Podcast,
your complete source of news and information for your Awesome Town crew.
Well, it's Monday, we're at Hendox, and you know what that means. It's time for another edition of the Massive Report, brought to you by Land Grant Brewing. My name is Matt Goshard. I'm joined this week by Greg Benson, Justin Bell, Morgan Hughes, Sam Fahmy hitting the buttons, making things work. Alex, unfortunately, very under the weather, and we hope for his speedy recovery.
No, we don't.
Oh, okay. Sorry, Morgan. We apparently don't, and your microphone wasn't up at the time. But, you know, it's what it is. The crew drop a result at RFK Stadium. Apparently a raccoon ran into the press box halfway through the game. Didn't have any bearing on the scoring. I just wanted to point that out. But the crew lose 2-0 in really a very lackluster showing, in my opinion, by Columbus. Not a lot of opportunities, not a very well-played game. Justin, you're cringing at this point, so either you agree with me or incredibly disagree with me, and I'm going to have you start. So your thoughts on Saturday's match?
I'm just cringing because it's so bright in here.
It's very bright in here. We have people, nice people filming us right now.
Yeah. No, I like it. It's fine. yeah, I mean, I think that the team... the way that I look at it is, like, the team was outplayed for the first two-thirds of the game.
Yeah.
And then they were outworked for the remaining third.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, but see, I don't think that... From what I could gather, it seemed like there was almost a reaction, like an overreaction to the loss.
Yeah.
Just like there was an overreaction to the win last mm-hmm. week. The fact that Philadelphia that we played 2 weeks, you know, a couple weeks ago was a very poor team.
Yeah.
Didn't really register with us, and we thought that, you know, the crew are obviously now excellent. They're, I think one of the words was that was described was a heavyweight in the Eastern Conference.
Mm-hmm.
The team played well, but they played against a very inferior opponent. This week, played against a good team.
Yeah.
Not a great team, but a good team. And played against a couple very good players. Chris Rolfe, like we said last week on the podcast, he just is a good, solid Major League Soccer player. And he dominated our midfield.
Yeah.
And when you have that, then you've got to... There needs to be adjustments that are made. Some people I heard say that, you know, maybe Will Trapp would have made a difference. I don't think he would have.
Mm.
I think that they were just... It was one of those games where things just weren't clicking, and the team didn't play up to where they want to play.
Yeah.
I think up to where Greg Berhalter wants to play.
But
one of the concerns that... There's a couple concerns that I do have. I mean, I think it's important not to overreact, but a couple of the concerns that I do have... I am concerned with, like, why Justin Merrim was subbed out at halftime. I'm still not sure.
Left side.
Yeah, and then Waylon Francis. Why was he subbed out at halftime? I think those were curious substitutions. I think Chris Cloutier played well when he came in. But I think that, like, Justin Merrim could have made a difference in the second half, and it's curious as to why he was subbed out. Yeah. But other than that, I wouldn't really take too much from that loss other than, you know, sometimes you play against a team that's better and you look really disjointed.
They definitely look poor in the match. Mm-hmm. I think that my biggest thing was, you know, yeah, you were talking about this halftime substitutions. Cloutier comes in for Francis, and Sinderson comes in for Merrim. And to me, I just didn't get it. Like, I just didn't get why they made those substitutions when they did. Morgan, your thoughts?
I think the upsetting thing for me is that I don't feel like we learned a lot about the crew yep. Zers SFC on Saturday, because, you know, if there's one recipe, regardless of skill level in soccer, is, you know, you score a couple goals off of, you know, botched defense of a set piece on either end, and you bunker down and play defense at home for the rest of the time. I mean, you know, it's yeah. kind of unbeatable on a few levels. I don't feel like I know anything more about the Crew after watching that game. You know, if the recipe to beat Columbus is to score and then have 11 goalies, then, you know, that's going to beat us every time.
No.
I haven't read anything about the substitutions at halftime. So if you're looking for information from me, Matt, you can go straight to hell. Back to you.
Fair enough. the Crew did have did really win the possession game. And the other thing is they didn't put a damn shot on target until, what was it, the 70-something minute? I mean, yeah, those are huge things.
It's good. Higuain seemed interested, like, almost more than before. That's nice. You're going to like that, Greg.
Greg.
Well, Sam's sort of signaling for us, but I'll offer my thoughts. I'm a little bit upbeat about this, actually, because I think this is one of those situations where the Crew hadn't really encountered something like this yet. They hadn't encountered a situation where they'd gone on the road, been smacked in the mouth early. Because for the first 10 to 15 minutes of that game, right up until Espíndola scores, the Crew were playing some good, enterprising, attacking soccer. All of a sudden, they get a counterattack going the other way. They go down 1-0, and the wheels fall off.
Hmm.
Not something that they've been accustomed to this year, and it's one of those situations that you're going to have this happen from time to time. You're going to, whether it's on the road or at home, you're going up against a team. Bear in mind, coming into this match, DC hadn't lost in 15 games at RFK.
Yeah.
They were on a good run at home.
And one might argue that any time you're at RFK, you're losing.
Yeah, no, it's true. That's true.
True enough. But no, they hadn't encountered a situation like this yet where all of a sudden they had to deal with having to regroup from... I mean, the counterattack was bad. It was really bad. The Crew's got one man back along with Mohamed Saeed, who is not a defender.
Yeah.
And it didn't go well, actually. Saeed's attempt at cutting out the through ball actually played it better into the path of Espíndola than it might have otherwise been. Just one of those, I don't call it a freak occurrence, but it's one of those things that any team that's looking to progress and win games is going to have to deal with. And hopefully they'll learn some lessons from this. That's my only thought. That, you know, they, by the end of the game, they were playing with desperation, and things just weren't clicking because you got that sense of panic that, you know, they're trying to score two goals, bang bang, like that, and it just wasn't happening.
I wish that sense of panic would have set in a lot earlier.
Oh, for sure.
That's, to me, that's kind of what I'm thinking. But Justin,
absolutely.
I mean, I don't know if panic's right. I mean,
sense
how about
of
just like an effort to try to put. Look, I thought that it was really important if they would have challenged Bilhamid early.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They didn't make him do anything for
70-ish minutes. Yeah.
And I think there's something strange there. Yeah. I don't understand. Like, I remember, okay, so when going back years when I played basketball, right? And I remember we had a coach who used to say, don't take a shot until you make 5 passes.
Yeah.
And that was put into the offense. That was something, and so it was always on our head. Don't take a shot. And so you get that sense from almost sometimes when you watch the Crew. It's like you want to, it's almost like it's prescribed that shots be taken from certain places.
Yeah.
And if you're in a spot where you're not in one of those places, then you look for a pass. You look for somebody who's making space. I don't know if that's what we needed in a game like this. I think that what needed to happen was that they needed to challenge Bilhamid, take some shots from beyond the 18.
Well, Tony Chani certainly tried.
Tony Chani did.
With those slow-rolling balls.
And at some point, it would have been nice to see them make that adjustment.
I subscribe to a different theory, and this is going back to my high school days playing hockey, is that the very first thing that I was told and the very first thing that most people were told on my team was ring one off the goalkeeper's face cage right away. And it was because you'll find out right then whether or not they're scared to take a shot.
Yeah.
And I think that is a much more effective,
Like, there are two kinds of hockey goalies. Those who aren't afraid of getting hit in the face.
Well, in high school, there certainly are.
All
but
humans
saying,
should
yeah.
be afraid we, of that. We had
but,
a,
but, we had a, but my thought is throw one on net and see what happens. Yeah. That's a different mindset than make X amount of passes or figure out where your shooting lanes are. Just throw it on net and see what happens.
I had a high school coach tell me something very similar, but it was cricket, and I'm not even going to try to explain it to you.
It was go have a cup of tea in the fourth inning and do that.
That was absolutely
like
not
after Bugs.
Yeah.
With regards to the substitutions, I think what happened really is that he basically decided to change the look and throw in two guys that have not played very often in hopes of kind of changing the way DC views them. Because you can tell that DC has watched exactly how the crew plays in the previous seven games. So if you throw them guys that haven't played very often, maybe their style is a little bit different. Steindorsen tends to go in towards the middle a lot.
Yeah.
And since he couldn't get anything off from the crosses, you know, it's a good time to change. Better than never.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose. I think Steindorsen is... I don't know. I haven't seen much from him yet.
Yeah, me either.
And I don't know what you get from him that you don't get from Justin Merrim. I mean, Merrim does that too. He tucks in and threatens.
He's really our only long away from goal threat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But is anybody really honestly sitting at this table worried about the crew watching Saturday?
No.
I do have concerns. Some concerns like that I have. I mean, that set piece that off the corner kick that where Sean Franklin scored.
Yeah.
What happened? I mean, I think sometimes you see Michael Parkhurst and Emmanuel Pogatetz not play very well.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that is. If that's just them getting used to things. I think one of the instances around the 19th minute of the game, I think it was Chris Rolfe made a really terrific through pass, and I can't remember who got behind him. Maybe it was a Spindola got behind him and had a shot on goal.
Yeah.
And Parkhurst and Pogatetz both did this.
Yeah.
Yep.
For those listening, they raised their arms. They tried to get the lines person to make a call. And, you know, to me, that's something, like I've said several times in the podcast, I don't like that. I think that's a... I know that happens on every team and every league around the world.
Yeah.
But what did... Yeah. Don't do that.
Hustle.
Just stop doing that.
Play the whistle.
Yeah,
is what they say.
Well, the good news is
there was actually a moment. I'm sorry. There was actually on that specific play. I think it was Pogatetz kept raising his arms, for 5 seconds after the play. Kept raising his arms
even
like he
after
was
Clark
the point.
Had made the save. Yeah,
right. And I'm like, dude.
First
cut
of all,
the
man's
out,
a tremendous dancer. I'm not going to fault him for dancing
he's
in the middle.
He's very good.
He has a passion. He has a vision. But it's not like Michael Parkhurst and Emmanuel Pogatetz suddenly have forgotten how to play defense.
Right.
I think it's got to be what Justin said. There has to be some sort of communication barrier,
right,
or just a lack of talking. And as the season progresses, that's hopefully going
to
get better.
And it might also have to do with the fact that, you know, every now and then Steve Clark has one of these weird games where he just does weird stuff.
Where he just runs out to the midfield to,
mm-hmm,
to clear.
And if you're and if you're a center back, sometimes you... That makes you uneasy.
Yeah.
Like, where
yeah.
is my keeper? Mm-hmm. What's he doing? Do I need to clear this, or is he going to take care
is
of it?
Is he living in a tent in the woods nearby?
Yes, fairly. Yeah.
Sometimes Steve Clark will do that.
My suggestion there is mark your man and clear it out.
Well, the crews are zone marked. They mark zonally.
Yeah, well,
and so
mark your zone then.
Zone.
Yeah, so
word.
Like what's going to happen in some cases is a player like Sean Franklin's going to get open.
Yeah. No, totally.
Not that open, but hopefully, but it's going to happen.
That's to me the only frustrating part about Saturday, other than obviously driving 3 points on the road, is that it was two really bad defensive miscues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that really was the entire game.
Mm-hmm.
And everything else was a byproduct of two really bad defensive miscues.
Right.
So we didn't learn anything about the crew. You don't know.
No, we didn't at all.
It was momentary stuff. It was, as you said, Morgan, two bad moments rather than DC constantly wearing the crew down and finally getting two goals as a reward.
I think the crew were just looking ahead to Seattle because everyone hates Seattle so much and so hard.
Oh, God.
That has to be.
We have so many things to talk about in the next
segment.
Yeah.
I said
I think there should be a sound effect, Sam, that whenever we say the word Seattle, it's like dum dum dum.
I think you should just get slimed, like you can't do that on television.
Slimed?
Yeah, yeah. I think that's a thing.
I heard that.
That's a thing. Well, let's...
Pretty good, Sam.
Does anybody have anything else to say about DC? Because if not, we're going to go straight into that in the next segment.
Glad the entire team survived the feral raccoon infestation at RFK.
That's fair. All right, we're going to come back in a few minutes. We're brought to you by Land Grant Brewing Company. And it's like going to be three segments about Seattle. Mm-hmm. Sorry. It's coming up next. It is the Massive Report.
Well, hello there, kiddos, and happy Hate Week to you all. This is your good pal Morgan Hughes here to talk to you about rest and recuperation. Listen, we all know what kind of exhaustion sets in after all those intense hours of standing on front office-provided metal scaffolding. Your back turned to a rolling field of disgusting grass-like plastic substances. You spend your weekends childishly screaming at thousands of innocent people, telling them what to do and how to feel. The entire time with only a megaphone and a stadium-wide professional microphone system to aid you in your universally uncontested douchebaggery. The bad news? Being a shitty Cascadian fame whore capo who is the very physical embodiment of literally everything that is wrong with the stinking, festering bowl of crap that is the MLS 3.0 era is extremely hard work. The good news? Land Grant Brewing Company has a cure for what ails ya. That's right. They're medium-sized glass containers, which are filled to the brim with delicious intoxicating alcohol, will leave you feeling focused, alert, and ready to team up with United States Soccer Federation to forcefully overtake the game day atmosphere of every single U.S. national team game for the rest of history. Hooray! So grab your unholy, turncoat, daytime television game show host minority owner Drew Carey, and head on down to Land Grant Brewing Company to drink away the pain of having your evil, Borg-like assimilation plans ruined by a small group of banner painters from that altogether less fashionable part of the United States known as Columbus, Ohio. And tell them your mortal enemies over at the Master Report podcast sent you. Go to hell, Seattle.
Segment 2 of the Massive Report live from Hendox, brought to you by Land Grant Brewing. Morgan, that has got to be one of the best Land Grant Brewing spots ever been recorded in the history of Land Grant Brewing spots. Well done, sir.
I'd like to thank everybody who's been sending their hate my way for fueling me to do that drop.
Yeah, no, it's fair enough. Yeah. So a couple things.
The force was strong with you.
Yeah, the force was strong with you. You've never seen Star Wars.
Not a single Star Wars, Matt.
That is such a lot.
Not a single Star War.
You've not seen a single Star War.
Not one of them.
We may have to kidnap you, put toothpicks in your eyes, and feed you Milk Plus, and just...
It upsets me, Governor.
The best ones are the ones with Jar Jar Binks.
Well, I heard
that's
that.
A lie. That's definitely like, a lie. That's Matt, the opposite.
Matt Gosher told me that one time.
Yeah, Justin, I'm not gonna let you do that to Morgan.
No, no.
First of all, you can't say
the best ones.
Morgan, you can't say that because my girlfriend has Star Wars tattoos and she will literally murder me in my sleep.
Oh.
Literally murder me in my sleep.
So we figured out how to get rid of you.
Yeah, that's fair.
Massive Report hosted by Morgan Hughes.
Everyone hates Matt.
Couple things I want to touch on real quick before we go into the elephant in the room, which is Drew Carey's enormous ego. But before we go into that, a couple of things. Crew DC, one of the few times that I've seen, I know it's happened before, but I thought it was kind of cool. Catherine Nesbitt, one of the ARs in the match. Major League Soccer bringing more female officials in. I think it's kind of a cool thing. And first of all, she did a good job. Mm-hmm. She actually, in my opinion, was a better AR than like half of the ones that I've seen so far this year. But you guys, thoughts?
I will be gender neutral and hate her exactly with the same amount of pure hatred that I hate all MLS.
Vitriol.
MLS reference.
Vitriol.
Yes.
Yeah. Justin, any thoughts on it?
No. That's cool.
No, sure. It's something I wanted to bring up, if nothing
I will say the girls are gross, so.
Sorry.
Yeah,
Greg.
I've touched on this in the past that I didn't actually know the names of any MLS officials. Now I do, and that one's going to be really easy to remember.
Yeah. What,
because
what's her
I
name?
Don't. Catherine Nesbitt. Yeah. I don't think that any other. Yes. No, I haven't seen that either.
Is that somebody from Galaxy Quest?
No, Captain Nesbitt is
Captain Nesbitt, not Captain.
Yeah.
Now I'm just going to be calling her Captain every time.
Just go stand in a corner, Sam.
Yeah, he always does that in Galaxy.
In all seriousness, to put a cap on this, notice I said cap, not capo.
Capo.
Fair enough.
To put a cap on this, no. If she's right for the job, good for her.
Well, that's my whole thing.
Regardless of gender, I think if she's qualified to do it and puts in a good performance, hey, good for her.
That's what I like to see.
I like it.
Yeah. So anyway,
I like it a lot.
Really, all I wanted to talk about on that. The other thing that we've had thrust on us this year is that darn song sheet from NYCFC.
Still haven't seen this.
You haven't seen
no.
this.
No. Should I look it up right now?
You should look it up right
all
now.
Right, I'm gonna look it up.
And, all right, Morgan. Yeah.
Is
talk
it
about
it.
Yeah, I know it's horrible.
I mean, I saw all the things, and I had even Greg like translate it into Australian and say it is. You know, I thought maybe it'd sound better in another language, but it doesn't.
It didn't.
Like crud.
Yeah, crud. That's what it was. It wasn't
crud.
Darn.
That's what it was.
That's what it was. Crud. Yeah, Greg.
The hang on.
It doesn't seem real. It does. I saw it, and it doesn't seem real.
It really does. The fact is, first of all, before we get to, because this was the last song on the sheet, the one that everybody's talking about.
Yeah,
is the last song on the sheet. I'm going to point out a couple of things besides the obvious. Virtually all of the other songs are stuff that we've all been singing for a long, long
time.
Well,
everybody in the league copies everybody else's
pretty
much.
Song.
That's just...
The other thing that I'd like to point out is the last line in fine print. Songs not included on this list may still be sung during the game.
Thanks for the
autonomy, front office. That's so kind of you that we are allowed to deviate from the script here and go ad-lib.
My biggest thing is, and I have seen song sheets. I've seen song sheets that Columbus has posted. I've seen other song sheets before. When you write out the songs that you sing, don't you just make yourself look more stupid?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is tough to do for a team that's played 8 games in their history and had Nazis.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
In their stands.
Yeah, Morgan, actual Nazis. We've touched on this on an old podcast.
You bring up a great point, Morgan.
Yeah.
The fact that they've only played 8 games. The song that contains the... You might have some history, but we don't give a crud. Your team will always be a joke until they have a cup.
Which doesn't rhyme.
Says the team that's played 8 stuffing games.
Which doesn't... And then it says...
Until you've won...
You can say fuck.
No, I don't want to do that. Yeah. I don't like swearing on the mic.
Yeah,
I do that enough.
Well, I did it for you. Yeah.
And we are live.
We are live. Sorry, Mom, who's not watching this.
We
but
can't
whatever.
Edit that out in post. No, but the point is that a team that's played 8 games, for crying out loud, is saying that your team... Stop that, Morgan. that somebody else's team, and we know that this is, it says insert team name here when we, you know, they start chanting.
Shout the opposing team's name.
But you know this is directed at New York Red Bulls.
Well, but I also want to know how many New York City FC fans just yelled insert team name here.
I would love that.
Who, that's what I want to know.
Who
shout the opposition? Yeah, I'd love to
hear
that.
This is actually like the team wrote this.
As far as I know,
it was coming from the front office. But this has been,
because of crud.
There
was another one too where they.
Oh, come on, New York, score a goal. It's really very simple. Put the ball into the net and we'll go really mental.
Yeah.
That's something that we're familiar with in the Nordic, but
we should
not
say
those
awfully
exact
mental
words.
From now on.
Awfully mental.
I'll go awfully mental.
I love this one is a favorite of mine. I want to discarude all night and party every day. I didn't know discarude was a verb.
That's really gross.
Yeah.
Want to go out to the discarude tonight? Maybe pick up some ladies?
Discarude is the new Smurf. Apparently.
Thing.
Yeah, no, it's pretty awful. Justin, I want your thoughts on this.
No, you don't.
Are you sure? No, I really do.
I don't really care.
There's a lot of cameras.
I don't really care.
By a lot, it he
this,
means
none
two.
Of this. None of this surprises me. I was about to say that. Okay. None of this surprises me.
Well, we're going to go to open phones just so everybody knows. And probably about, what is it? What is it, about 20 minutes at this point, Sam?
To our 20s. Let's live forever, you guys.
What's that?
I have to make sure it'll actually
work. Oh, you have to make sure it'll actually work. Well, yes. Thanks for being an awesome producer,
so wait,
Sam.
We're going to actually take phone calls?
Yeah, we're going to take phone calls. Are you calling in, Justin?
Caller.
I'm trying to get in right now.
Yeah, you're trying to.
It's busy.
Long time listener, first time caller. My name's Justin Bell. Go ahead, caller.
With everything else that we're doing tonight, I just want to make sure that Google Voice actually will cooperate so people can use an actual phone number.
Oh,
okay.
My name is Sam. There
What's
rules.
Your Google wait, Voice wait. Number, Sam?
I won't tell you that yet.
Nikes. All right. Well, we'll figure that part out in a few minutes, Eric. Crud. Oh, crud.
800 crud ass.
So, last thing we need to talk
crud
about.
Ultras.
Crud Ultras. Did you guys see there's a new NYCFC firm, by the way?
Firm.
Is there really?
Yeah, it's a new firm. Yeah. They're hardcore, apparently. I don't know.
They're very firm.
Very.
Because the team looked pretty flaccid yesterday.
Separated.
Glad the fans are firm.
No. All right. So last thing we're going to talk about, Seattle.
Sam is on the money with that.
I'm going to let Morgan take the lead on this because apparently Drew Carey retweeted you today.
Today was a big day for me, Matt. Thanks. Yes.
Are you kidding me?
No, yes. Seriously.
This actually happened.
This is what happens when you're at work all day.
I know. I posted a picture of Drew Carey inside the MLS crest, pouring beer on his naked man nipples. And just with the hashtag hate week. And he retweeted it.
Yeah.
Wow.
And not many Seattle people knew what to think of it. I could tell that they were angry, but they were waiting for their capo to tell them why and how.
They were angry but confused.
Dynamite drop in Sam, that broadcast school has really paid off. That's for Major League Two.
Yes.
Two. You know, Seattle's a terrible, terrible place.
Whoa.
You said the magic word.
Those drops are getting closer every day, Matt.
I know, seriously.
It's either that or rave green slime from the ceiling.
I'd actually kind of prefer that at this point. Go ahead, Morgan.
I've been waiting for this game for 2 years, since we were ankle deep in Capo Gate 2013. The last time the Sounders were here. Do you still do the annoying thing if I say Sounders? Oh, okay. All right. The last time Seattle was here.
Wait for it.
You're a dick. It was the summer of 2013 and we were preparing for USA Mexico. Tipo Sweat was.
I'm still waiting for my apology for that, by the way.
Yeah.
True story.
Tipo Sweat was on the heels of being called liars in the national and international press, both by the American Outlaws and Major League Soccer.
Oh, you mean those people that pay for their family to fly to all the USA games? Okay, yeah. Fuck them. Go ahead.
The Sounders came into Columbus and there was like an hour and a half rain delay, and they got a red card in the fifth or sixth minute, and we played you know, a majority of the game up a man, and we lost.
Yeah, and I remember that.
I've been waiting. Usually, you know, it goes, you know, Western Conference team plays at your place 1 year. You have to wait 2 years for them to make their return. And that was the thing I was looking for when they released the schedule at the beginning of the year, was when we get Seattle.
Yeah.
And I was very excited it was May 9th because that's earlier than May 10th and all days after. We're going to be ready. I think that hashtag group known as TIFO Sweat, I don't know who those guys are and those girls are, but I know that they're going to be working very hard this week, and they're going to need everybody's help to produce a large banner that will no doubt help Columbus Cruisers FC defeat the Evil Empire. Back to you, Matt.
Justin.
Back to you, Justin.
I don't know how to follow that. That was very well said.
It was very well said.
Thank you. Yeah. It felt good.
It felt right.
Yeah.
It just feels right.
It felt just.
Mm-hmm. No, I think the team that we're going to play next week is a very good soccer team. They might be the best team in the league. And it's going to be curious to see how we do. Mm-hmm. I think one of the things that we've noticed, and you know, Morgan was saying this earlier in the show about how we don't really know anything about... We don't really know much about our team. They can play good soccer when they need to, when they are able to, I'll say that. And then sometimes we don't. And last night, Seattle played a very good game against New York City.
Yeah.
Very good. Now, New York City also, a lot like Philadelphia, is not very good.
Yeah.
And so we don't really know much about them either because, you know, one thing that I think we're seeing this season is that teams that you think are just – lights out, gonna win the Supporters Shield, go to the Cup final. They turn out the next week to not be so great. Like you know, yesterday FC Dallas Saturday FC Dallas looked fantastic. Early in the season, they looked fantastic. There was a couple moments. There's been a couple games this year where they looked terrible.
Yeah. Would it be fair to say that a lot of teams this year have Toronto FC syndrome?
No, I think a lot of teams. I think this is what happens when you have expansion drafts.
Yeah.
I think what happens is your teams lose identity. Yeah. And it takes a while for them to kind of figure out who they are. I think Seattle is one of those teams. They played a game against their arch rival, Portland, 2 weeks ago in which...
Arch rival.
Both teams looked very...
There's no arches in either one of those cities.
No, both teams looked like scared to play. They're scared to play soccer. And the game ended up being kind of a snooze fest, and even the people in the stands weren't into it.
Yeah.
And then they turn around this week and they hang three goals on New York City. They played much more open and attacking soccer.
And New York just looked terrible at times.
They're terrible.
Their second goal was just comically bad. It was like a slow rolled bowling ball to the far left side of the goal. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, Seattle can be as good as they want to be. I mean, I can tell you one thing. When we, the fans, bring our A game and we win the stands just like Orlando City supporters do every week and have been doing for at least 2 months, we're tough to beat, man.
Yeah.
So it's going to be one of those games.
It's all about us.
It doesn't even matter who's on. It's going to be 11 ham sandwiches versus the Chad Marshalls. And if we scream loud
enough,
it's
all
enough,
about Matt, us. Yeah. We should just fillet ourselves after the game. Go ahead, Justin.
It's going to be curious to see like what kind of turnout we have for that game.
Yeah. It's going to be one of the better weather games from what I've seen so far. Yeah.
It should be nice.
For a while. Yeah.
It's Saturday.
Right? Yeah.
So it's not one of these Sunday games where everyone's kind of like, eh. I've been drinking all weekend, so I don't really care if I'm here or not. It's going to be a good... The energy should be there, so there's that. But I don't know how well that affects the Seattle Sounders. I don't know.
Chad Marshall is going to be very emotional.
I kind of doubt it. I don't think it's possible
for him
to be emotional.
I see him crippling in a pile of crippling emotions on the ground, and that's probably going to give us a couple goals. Love Chad Marshall. Thanks for all your hard work, but he's going to be too emotionally compromised to make a difference in this game, Matt.
I think it's a lie. Greg.
I know we're going to spend a lot of the rest of this podcast, nay, almost all of it, talking about Seattle Sounders versus Columbus, you know, on the weekend. But the thing that fascinates me about this game is the anticipation between two cities that are not even close to each other. Uh-huh. And two teams.
It's like they're almost more of an Australia away from each other.
It's like a Sydney v Perth thing, which is funny because Chris Edwards just
a lot of people say that.
Facebook me.
A lot of people say that.
Nobody
knows where that is.
Not even me.
Yeah. I don't think Australia is a real place. Go ahead.
It either never got old or it never grew up.
Yeah, fair enough.
But no, what fascinates me about this is they're not conference opponents, never have been. It's not a local rivalry. And it's not even a rivalry between the teams themselves. I've never seen any real angst in the games between Columbus and Seattle. It's all in the stands.
No.
It's all around this table.
No, that's completely wrong.
See,
no,
that's completely wrong. I think about what happened a few years ago. You know, we had a game where...
Penalty gate? Yeah. But they broke the floor?
No. That was one I was going to get to. But, like, there's been a few different examples. Like, you know, let's say it was like a 2012 maybe. The crew were kind of playing well. And Seattle came in and just beat the shit out of us. I mean, they crunched us. And part of that was the fact that, like, Danny O'Rourke was being played on the left wing or left back. And they pretty much...
How did that not work out?
It was a disaster.
That's crazy.
The name of the designated player at the time for Seattle escapes me. He was they just brought him in from Switzerland, and it was like his first game there, and he just completely dominated Danny O'Rourke and the rest of
2011. I think that was because we went there in 2012 and won on a Renteria goal.
Right, and the crew were in first place at the time in 2011. Shocking enough. And we looked very poor. Kevin Burns got exposed on the right side of the. I mean, it was just a. And it was chippy because the crew, I think, had our players had their pride hurt in that game. And then, you know, you guys, the breaking of the floor game, that was, that's something that goes down in history, in crew lore, where the crew had a chance to take the game and Seattle went and dug up the penalty spot, right before Guillermo could take a kick.
And that broke our home winning streak, unbeaten streak.
It broke the longest winning streak in the history of the league. And plus, you know, they have our cup-winning coach, and they have players from that team. Brad Evans, yeah. Chad Marshall.
I'll go one beyond that because
Ezra is one of their coaches right now.
Yeah. Mm. But the tampering was the fact that Seattle was quote unquote never found guilty of tampering. At the same time, they paid us an undisclosed amount of money.
They were fined by the league, which never happens ever played a game as a franchise.
Exactly, for not tampering.
Right,
but it was pretty much tampering.
And then we played in the 2010 U.S. Open Cup final in Seattle, which was to this day, I think, the moment where I, for one, said you have to get rid of our coaching staff and everybody who's running this team because, I just going back to that and thinking how we had a really good soccer team and you're going into basically a hornet's nest. There's going to be 40,000-50,000 people in there all rooting for your opponent in a cup final, and Robert Wozia decided to play bobby ball, get a goal lead and then just defend.
Yep.
And not attack. And we played that game with a backup goalkeeper at the time. Andy Grunebaum was, I think it might have been his first game that year. And, you know, instead of alleviating some of the pressure on this kid, we decided to put it all on him. And the crew, you know, I remember watching that game and thinking that was the end of Guillermo. Guillermo had basically... cashed in at that point. The frustration on his face was very apparent. The frustration on Gino and all those veterans, they saw that, you know, you don't get chances to win cups very often.
Yeah.
And they felt like they had been put behind.
They were robbed.
Behind by their, not robbed, but they were never given a chance to win by their coaching staff. And that's, you know, at that point, I think a lot of us saw, boy, this era is kind of done.
Yeah.
And it was only a couple months later that the era was literally
Black Friday.
Yeah.
I wonder if the players do the current crop of players, if they sense some sort of larger importance from any direction, be it, you know, people on Twitter, or the coaching staff, or the front office, I wonder if they sense that this is a bigger game than just a good Western Conference team is coming.
Well, my guess was Frankie walked into the locker room and said, "Yo, brah, hey, yo, everybody hit Seattle, brah.
It's time to get racked.
Time
to get just a lot of hang
let's
out.
Just slide tackle the crap out of him. Yeah, brah.
Studs up, got to go reckless.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't get this feeling that Greg Berhalter does that, though.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know. It's an interesting question. Yeah. I don't get the feeling that he says, "Hey, you know what? Here's the history of the team.
Yeah.
This is the history of our rivalry. This game in May means more than the game previous or the game next."
I would think
I wouldn't think he would say that.
Because I always say there's two kinds of rivalries: one that's off the field and one that's on. And the ones that are on the field are very easy for players, obviously, because they play on the field. But the ones that are off the field, you know, how we kind of go back and forth with the new expansion teams and just their just general awfulness. And Seattle falls right into that category with their manifest destiny of supporter.
that was really more my point. Rather than, there's no animosity between the teams themselves. It's more of an off-the-field rivalry than it is an on.
And I'm not sure that people in Seattle really feel anywhere close to as passionate about this.
Well, it's because the majority of them are sociopaths, Morgan. You know that.
That's
a true story. I mean, you look at... What's that guy's name?
Sean Wheeler.
Yeah, he's a sociopath.
Sure
he's
is.
Just a horrible person.
He sure is, man.
And, you know, has no emotion in his body whatsoever.
The funny thing about that is, though, is like until the you know, what you were talking about earlier,
Capo
2013,
Gate.
Even though it was fun to beat Seattle, it was you always rooted for your team to beat them, I didn't really give a damn about Seattle.
Yeah.
I honestly didn't. I could care less. They were just one of those teams that we had to play once or twice a year, and hopefully we beat
them. They were like Vancouver.
Yeah, and, you know, since then, it's sort of, we figured out what exactly they're going for, and they expressed it and made a point of coming at us, and when it's like a lot of bullies, right?
Yeah.
And this is kind of the case with MLS. Is that when you stand up for yourself, if you're not on the side of promoting your league, then you get called, you have a chip on your shoulder. Or you have an inferiority complex.
You're jealous of our fan base.
Right. But what it is you're standing up for yourself. And that's the way that bullies operate, right? It's like all of a sudden you hit back and you're the jerk for hitting back. Yeah. Well, no.
I'm
fine with that. Let's just keep hitting back.
I can confirm on behalf of every single fan of the Crew that we are in no way jealous of anything that Seattle fans have going for them at all.
Yeah.
In no way, shape, or form. At all. Ever.
Yeah.
So,
as a matter of fact, if Drew Carey owned my team, I'd want to drink bleach. I mean, just act like pure bleach. Yeah.
Because you know Mimi's coming with him.
Yeah, well, of course. And, Yeah,
I mean, who owns the team? Who plays for the team? That's all neutral in my book. I really couldn't care less. But the notion that the only reason that we could dislike the team or their fan base is because it's like to paraphrase, I can't remember which comedian it was, but they're acting like the oversized Jerry Springer guest in the spandex leopard print pants strutting around the stage going, "You're just jealous of us," you know?
Yeah, like, no, it's
we're really not. We're vivid. More disgusted by you than
anything. Yeah, I've said this on the podcast before. They were born on third base and thought they had a triple.
Yeah.
I am jealous of their giant dormant volcano that could explode at any moment. I am jealous of that.
It could potentially just level
wipe
the whole
out
thing.
Everything.
Yeah, well, we have Buckeye Lake. Yeah.
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 We have that.
We have Buckeye Lake, so. So we still win, Seattle. Screw you. We're going to come back. Third segment's on the way. We're going to have Greg yell a lot. Then open phones if Sam can figure out how to make the phone work. It's coming up next. It is the Massive Report.
By entire litany of slurs, such a lot of words. O.T. Madam, I challenge you to a duel. My second warning to be careful. That bell can't be unrung. Madam, you mistake me for a bumpkin. It's clear you're yelling something. Oh, please don't burst a lung.
It is a brand new month, and it started out with what can only be described as soul-crushing disappointment. That is assuming you watched the Crew game, and or if you paid $100 for Wife Beater versus Homophobe on Saturday night. That was fun. I'll try and make it up for you with another round of Cards Against Insanity, sponsored this week by the delicious intoxicating booze at Land Grant Brewing, which is a much cheaper way to watch two grown men stagger around and try to slap each other. Opinions are mine and don't necessarily reflect those of the Massive Report or Columbus Crew SC, and absolutely no cards tonight are devoted to the Seattle Sounders, so if you're looking for more big pregame rah-rah that our fans are great and their fans are awful, skip ahead by about 6 minutes. For those of you still here, Wait, this is recorded live. Whoops. You have no choice. Yellow card to Stephen Thompson, the captain of Scottish Premiership side St Mirren, who made the news last week when he injured teammate John McGinn during training. How, you may ask? Well, after being dispossessed during a dribbling exercise, Thompson picked up a corner flag and threw it at McGinn. And what's more, the spiked end stuck in McGinn's thigh about a half inch deep, tearing the muscle and ruling him out for the rest of the season. We haven't seen a Scotsman that handy with a spear since Gerard Butler in 300. It's just one more thing to go wrong for the club, which are dead last in the Scottish Premier League with just 7 wins all season and set for relegation. But hey, the Olympics are next year. Maybe Great Britain needs another javelin thrower. They'll be in touch. Yellow card to the Cleveland Browns. Last week was the NFL draft, and the Browns held a contest on Twitter where one lucky fan could win tickets to the team's official draft party, along with other prizes including a custom jersey and an Xbox One. But when they announced the winner, the account, @FrankDurich1991, turned out to be a spam bot. Nothing more than a fake account created to generate advertising links. Was it really that hard to click the profile and double-check that before you announced the winner, guys? Fortunately, the tweet was deleted. They gave the prizes to a real person, and the Browns skipped the embarrassment of having to spend their draft party hanging out with a laptop dressed in a jersey with ad.clickandsave.net/greatdeals.html on the back. Yellow card to Chelsea fans. Their team has taken a bit of stick this year from opponents for being not very interesting to watch. But whatever gets the job done, right? They just clinched the Premier League title on Sunday, with a home victory against Crystal Palace. But Stamford Bridge was so devoid of atmosphere for the champions-elect during that game that it even got the attention of manager Jose Mourinho. At one point, Mourinho gestured to the visiting Palace fans with a thumbs up before motioning toward the rest of the stadium and mimicking sleeping. The Palace fans responded by singing, "Mourinho's right, your fans are shite." Mourinho was seen to nod in approval. So congratulations on the title, Chelsea. Fortunately, your team are very good on the field, and winning in the stands only counts in Major League Soccer, apparently, according to some people. Yellow cards all round to the Dallas Mavericks, the Houston Rockets, and everyone who lost their collective dookie over a tweet that the Rockets sent out in the final seconds of their playoff series clinching victory over the Mavs last Tuesday. The Rockets' official account tweeted, quote, "Shh, just close your eyes, it will all be over soon," end quote, accompanied by two emojis, one of a horse's head and one of a gun. Obviously meant to reference the Mavs' horse head logo and the Rockets finally putting them out of their misery by ending the series. The cards, in ascending order of insanity. First to the Mavericks, who replied in passive-aggressive fashion, "Not very classy, but we still wish you guys the best of luck in the next round." People from Dallas actually talk like that, by the way. "Sorry your feelings got hurt when you lost to an in-state rival that your owner Mark Cuban said was not a very good team. Apparently trash talking's only good when you do it." Second, to every blithering, bleeding-heart idiot, from Mavs employees to sports writers to elected officials, who got offended by either A, the language used, implying that it was a little bit rapey, or B, the fact that an emoji horse was being shot with an emoji gun. At the time this game was being played... At the time this game was being played, protests, both peaceful and violent, were taking place on the streets of Baltimore and elsewhere. Real people were actually being shot at with real guns.
And anyway, have these people, particularly the ones in Texas, never spent time on a farm and know what happens when a horse is old and sick and needs to be put out of its suffering? They get put down, often with a gun, because Texas. Did any of these people watch the Kentucky Derby? If one of those horses gets hurt, I got bad news for you. And third, to the Rockets, who caved to all this ridiculousness by firing social media manager Chad Shanks the following day. Throughout the season, the Rockets have become one of the NBA's top teams in terms of social media presence. Their tweets during games were edgy, witty, and topical, and now the guy responsible for all of that positive effort is gone because hashtag emoji horse lives matter. Yellow card to Sporting Kansas City, not even 18 months removed from an MLS title. They are apparently not the top dog in KC anymore. And that pun is intended because Sporting sent three of their best-known players, Graham Zusi, Matt Beisler, and Dom Dwyer, across town to Kauffman Stadium, home of your defending 2014 American League pennant winners, the Kansas City Royals. Why? To dress up as hot dogs. Yes, Zusi, Beisler, and Dwyer took part in the ketchup versus mustard versus relish race during Friday's game between the Royals and the Detroit Tigers. Because this is what happens when another sports team in your city became more successful more recently, you get relegated to stunts like this. Oh god, I gotta put more pennies in the jar now for saying relegation again. For the record, Beisler, representing Team Mustard, came home first. Not sure what happened to Zusi, but since Dwyer is now married to Sidney LaRue, he figures he doesn't need to worry about a condiment. And finally, red card to MLS for Montreal. Regular listeners to the Massive Report, or at least anyone who listened to it last week, will know that we covered the build-up to Wednesday's CONCACAF Champions League final second leg between the Montreal Impact and some club from Mexico we've already stopped caring about and we don't even know their name anymore. Well, this was a big deal for Montreal. It was strange at best and downright disturbing at worst. Just how much MLS pushed the angle that fans of all 20 teams in the league were somehow all rallying behind Montreal because a win for them would have been a victory for the league. Somehow. At least they pushed it right up until the end of the game, at which point they went strangely quiet. I'm not going to lie to you. I watched the game like I said last week that I would. I rooted for Montreal, and I was disappointed when they lost. But my 90-minute attachment to the Impact has nothing to do with the MLS connection. I've actually been to Montreal. I love it there. I've been to sporting events there. It's a great city with tremendous culture, and Impact fans generally seem to be pretty likable. And because they weren't playing against a team I like more, I had no trouble being happy for them if they won. But as I also said last week, I was concerned that MLS giving its collective backing to the Impact's efforts were being done not to prop up the city, the team, or the fan base, but to legitimize the salary-capped, handicapped, single-entity system of MLS as being something that can result in teams competing on a global level. And for this reason alone, I'm glad Montreal lost. Because it highlighted the fact that while MLS values restrictions in the name of parity, that ceiling they set for all of their teams keeps them all at a level below the competition south of the border. It's my opinion that, right or wrong, removing or significantly raising the salary cap and breaking up single entity to allow teams to become clubs rather than franchises and bid for the players they want would, aside from all else, result in MLS teams being able to compete for CCL titles, not just one team and not just one year, but on a consistent basis. Until then, Montreal's impressive yet improbable run in this season's tournament will be an anomaly, something that proves the any given Sunday theory. And lost in all of this MLS bluster is the fact that the Montreal Impact didn't even qualify for CONCACAF Champions League through MLS. They finished 2014 dead last in the league. They were awarded a CCL spot for winning the Canadian Championship, a four-team tournament. To get to CCL, Montreal had to win a whopping two games against FC Edmonton and then Toronto FC. But anything for the narrative, right? Anything that makes you look like you're doing something that works. Only twice in the CCL's seven seasons under the current format has a U.S. or Canadian team made the final. Both times they've lost. For the amount of fuss that we make every time the U.S. beats Mexico in international play, all the dos acero chants, this is bad. And only once they emerge from the bubble of distorted reality will we finally realize what needs to be done to turn that around. In the meantime, hey, I look forward to 4 years from now when another MLS team falls short at the final hurdle and we get to have this conversation all over again. My name is Greg Benson. You can find me on Twitter as GregUlator614. And if you are at Hendox Pub, you're in my seat. A reminder once again to use the hashtag MRCards if you've got a suggestion for something I should be using on next week's show. Until then, play on, but remember, I'm watching you.
Anytime, Greg. So here's the thing. This is segment three. We're going to go into it right now. Sam, I do believe it's open phone time. And who do we got on the phone?
Let's see here. We're going to...
All right. So we're going to talk amongst ourselves for half a second here. How excited are you guys for open phones brought to you by Land Grant Brewing?
Matt, if I were any more excited, I'd have to inform the local schools because of Megan's Law.
I didn't hear a word. Mike Hudson, Mike, are you on the line?
Wow.
I am.
Mike, how's it going? What's your question for us?
I want to start out by saying, Justin, I love you, and you need to get on Twitter, because I think your thought nuggets would be awesome.
Okay. Mm. I will do that.
My question is regarding Waylon Francis. He easily gets the goat of the week, but good players do make mistakes. So, how much do you blame the loss on him? How much do you blame not scoring on the rest of the team? And how much do you believe... So we have backs galore. How much do you believe that we have an embarrassment of riches versus a chance to sell someone down the line and bring someone in?
I'll take that first one, Matt, if you don't mind.
Yeah, of course.
As far as Waylon Francis, how much is he to blame for that loss? I say 100%. And I'm excited to see him shipped off due to that poor play. So... He's
liar! Liar!
I didn't even watch the game. I have no idea.
Greg, your thoughts.
I think Francis was part of the problem. The fact that the crew just got beat on the flanks all ends up. Francis and Grana were both to blame, I think. I don't think Grana had a great game. He got himself involved in a lot. But I don't think he was as bad. But he's got to shoulder some of that blame as well. I don't think the crew played a very good wide game.
Justin, not on Twitter. What are you thinking?
Well, I like the question about the backs. I mean,
yeah.
You know, we do have a lot of, I think, good fullbacks. I think, you know, when you include Chad Barson into that equation. So
do you
got,
count Hector Jimenez in that?
And I was going to mention, yeah, him too. You know, he came into the game, and I like Hector Jimenez. I think he's one of those players who puts in work and will play wherever you need him, and
yeah.
He's going to do a good job. Where I'm kind of concerned going forward is, you know, if Emmanuel Pogatetz does have a pulled hamstring, I think it was a hamstring strain.
Yeah.
And he was questionable, I think, going into the game on Saturday. I'm going to guess that he might be questionable going into this game, too, against Seattle. And I think he has to play.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any ill will against Tyson Wahl. I just don't think he's as good as he needs to be for the crew.
Undue hate. He does get a lot of undue hate.
Yeah, for the crew to be good, like a championship winning contending, he can't be the starting center back on this team, especially against a player a pairing like Obafemi Martins and Clint Dempsey, because they're going to be enough to handle for someone like Parkhurst and Pogatetz when they're playing at their top.
All right. No, fair enough. Sam, next question. Who do we got? Yeah, well, thank you very much, Mike. Appreciate that.
Thank you. Keep rocking on.
Yeah, appreciate it, buddy. All right, who's the next one we got on? Oh, Josh Patterson from Fort Wayne, Indiana. Is coming
did
on.
You just say his last name?
I did.
Is that something we want to do?
No, I'll do it. No, we're calling him?
Yeah, we got Josh in Fort Wayne.
Are we? We're calling out.
Yeah,
I have a suggestion.
No, we have to. Everybody should call in. Works. Yeah, no.
I think, can we call...
Hi, Josh Patterson. You're on the line with the Massive Report. Go ahead.
All right. Hey, guys.
Hey, buddy.
Second week in a row. How about that?
Hey, we're doing great. Thanks, Josh.
Quick question. I know that Chicago's a long-time rival. I know Orlando's a new-time rival. I know Seattle's just terrible. Yes. Would you say that Seattle is the worst team in the league as far as, like, most hatred?
Do you mean just strictly from Columbus Cruisers FC fans or from
or in
all
general,
fans?
Yeah.
I'll say both.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree. No, they're pretty awful. Yeah, they're kind of awful human beings.
They're probably the most hated by people in the league. just yeah. because of pure jealousy. I mean, because we're so jealous of their fan.
No, we can't do that. That's just a lie.
We gave it a shot.
No. But they're kind of awful plastic human beings. I mean, I think that's part of it. Justin, do you have any thoughts on this?
I think there's a literary term, the uncanny.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when you see something that sort of relate to, yeah. but it's just off-putting enough that it makes you discomfortable.
Yeah.
Discomforted.
None of those
words. It's uncanny. It's like,
uncanny
why did people have a revulsion to Frankenstein's monster?
Yeah.
Because he was human-ish.
Yeah.
But there's something off about him. He's a monster. Yeah. He might have been like at the heart of an angel.
Yeah.
But he was not. He was a monster. Yes, and so that's
a monster.
And so you don't like him. On the kind of answer the other question.
What have you been drinking?
That's sweet tea and lemonade.
I'd like some of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What I'd like to say though is that I hate the Dayton Dutch Lions more than any other team.
Yep.
So,
did you know that O.J. Simpson actually got his start in professional sports playing for the Dayton Dutch Lions?
Yeah. Oh, I heard that. Yeah.
Killing people.
No, it's true.
Yeah.
Greg. I learned that from the science book, by the way.
Greg, they don't even exist.
Greg, your thoughts on the science book. What's this like? What the hell is happening right now?
Caller, we're going to have you turn
your
radio down.
We're going to have to turn your radio down.
We've entered into interstellar space because of you. Thank you.
Yeah, turn your radio down, Caller.
Wormholes and...
Josh,
turn your damn radio down.
Several seconds behind. I think it's worth pointing out that the two expansion teams this year, for the length of time or the non-length of time of their existence, they've managed to generate quite a lot of hate to almost get them to Seattle level. Like we're so repulsed by every single thing that Orlando City fans and New York City FC fans do. Now that it's like we mention them and say we're even talking about them now in the same breath as Seattle, who
I mean, Nazis, the presence of Nazis really just ramps up, you know.
Yeah,
you add Nazis to a discussion, and it immediately takes it turns it up to 11.
Talking about real Nazis,
yeah,
not like soup Nazis.
We're Illinois
grammar Nazis.
And like Nazis.
I guess Illinois Nazis were real Nazis, right? I mean, even though they were in a movie, you know.
Nobody knows who you're talking about, Matt.
Blues Brothers.
Nobody's seen that.
Jackass.
Yeah, but no, we still hate Seattle.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
They're the Western Sydney Wanderers of MLS.
Oh, shut up, Greg.
All right, what do you got, Josh?
Josh
is gone. Josh is gone. Do we have another caller?
Yep.
Thanks for calling.
All right. Who's
Nate Beckman?
Nate Beckman.
Oh, my God.
Who's
Nate Beckman?
What's up? How's the children?
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
I don't really know because I'm nowhere near Columbus, Ohio right now.
Yeah.
Are you in Columbia?
I'm going to assume they're asleep.
What?
Where are you at?
I'm in Washington, D.C.
Oh, wow. Nice. Did work?
Yeah.
How's that going?
Work.
How's that going?
RFK called him.
Are you my congressman now?
Yeah, Nate's definitely our congressman now. That makes sense. So what do you got for us, Nate? What's your question?
So, talking to continue the conversation about the, I guess, fullback situation, am I the only person that is consistently disappointed with Parkhurst? I feel like he has a gaffe every, 5 to 8 games, and that's too often for big gaffes.
And his gaffes cause goals immediately.
Yeah, that's it.
All right. Justin, your thoughts?
Through the panel.
Well, the whole panel, but Justin starts.
I don't know if I'm necessarily disappointed with him. I just think he's got a really hard job, and I think it's harder than we even think about it. I don't know if he's really made for that position. He seems to be more, you know, when he came in to the crew, he was in line to play right back mm-hmm. for the U.S. men's national team.
Yeah,
and that's where he was being we expected him to play that. And then Greg Berhalter moved him because we needed somebody at center back. And Greg Berhalter moved him there, and he played with Giancarlo Gonzalez. And, you know, Giancarlo's proven to be one of the best in the world at his position. And, you know, Parkhurst had to learn to play with him. And I think he's done pretty well, considering that he's had so much turnover at his partner with his and his partner's position.
Yeah.
He does some really good things, and but then he also has these moments where he just looks like he's kind of out of position. Maybe they're trying to run. Maybe they're trying to do offside traps. I don't know, but sometimes they just seem to lose their men right in the middle of the pitch. And you know, that's one of the reasons why Will Trapp is important.
Yeah,
is Will Trapp, when he sits back there and takes up that spot, he alleviates a lot of the pressure. I think, from what I can tell, on those two guys, he's able to sweep up balls that get through them, and I think that's got to be comforting to a guy like Michael Parkhurst. But I think he's a good player. I think he's a quality player. I think he's, for the most part, solid and smart. And I like those things, especially in a captain.
I'd like to make a point to Justin's point in that what I would like to say is that I disagree. And I disagree. So,
Greg.
Do you disagree wholeheartedly?
I think Michael Parkhurst is... I think it's more frequent than every 5 to 8 games. I every so often he has one of these moments, and it seems to be almost every 3 or 4 games even, where I'm heart's in the mouth watching him try to clear the ball out. And I guess that same could be said for any player, but Michael Parkhurst is not a big guy, and he's playing a big guy's role. You know, let's not forget that. I can't remember. How tall is he? He's not tall.
6'10"?
Yeah, no. No,
sure
I think he's like 5'8 or something. I mean, he's not a big guy. You put him next to Pogatetz, he's dwarfed.
He's about 6 foot, almost.
Yeah, but he's not he's not the like the tower in the center of the back line that I think maybe we were expecting him to be because of the maybe we're overstating the expectation because of the men's national team pedigree.
Yeah, I think that's
true. The fact that he's at least on the fringes of the national squad. We expected him to be world beater.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's that. But he's very solid, very capable. But
Nate, what do you got?
Yeah, it's when Justin started off and saying he was right back, that reminded me honestly that he was brought in and that was his position, you know, over on the side. I was excited about that. I'd be excited about that now. Yeah. I think he'd play that well. I think, you know, maybe just being in the middle is something that at this point, you know, I think between, I mean, there was a pass that he attempted to make in this game against DC that was just straight to an opposing winger from what was supposed to be a clearance. And there was another play a few weeks ago that was a complete like lack of focus that turned into a goal for the opposing team, and it just seems to happen all the time, and I don't know what's going on with it.
Well, what do you think, Nate? Are we playing him out of position? Do you think we're doing that?
Yeah.
Everybody else at the table?
Totally disagree, Matt.
Well, look, I mean, there's playing someone out of position, and there's playing someone who is the best available player at that position.
Yeah.
That might also be true.
Yeah, I think that's what we've got right now. I think he is the best available player right now. No. I like
undue
what,
hate.
I like what, a little bit of undue hate there. A little bit.
Undue.
But look, I think there's this player, Sergio Campbell, that we have. He's a very young kid. Yep. He's also a very big kid. And he, you know, he's 6'4", like about 200 pounds from what I've and he's young. If they can develop him into somebody who can play alongside Pogatetz, then maybe they can move Parkhurst over towards onto one of those fullback spots.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's a good point that Nate made.
All right. Fair enough. We got any more open lines, Sam, or are we done? All right. We're done. Nate, thank you so much. We're going to come back in a few minutes here, and we're going to break down Crew v Seattle. This is the Massive Report.
Fair warning.
It will always be the end of time, the end of the law, the end of life. The dolls will howl and yank the leash from tree to tree.
Yes, I'm relieving. Now that you're leaving, soon as you can be. Yes, I'm relaxing. Here that you're resting. Let me guess. Yes, I'm
All right, we're back. It is segment four of the Massive Report, brought to you by Land Grant Brewing Company. Apparently, what is it, 45th anniversary of Do the Hustle? 40th.
I kind of feel like disco and grunge came together and created me.
Yeah, well, fair enough. Yeah, that makes, with your hair, it totally
that's
makes sense.
That's basically how it all worked.
Yeah.
For those of you who are wondering.
If you ask me, that's a little disco rude.
Wah, wah.
Sam doesn't even have the rim shot ready, so I'll just do it for you. Ba-doom.
Oh,
that's the other one. Oh,
that's a shame.
It's topical.
All right, Crew SC playing the Seattle Sounder-ish folks.
Yep.
Morgan. Woo! Morgan, your thought on the Crew playing the most horrible team in the entire Major League Soccer, soccer.com.
Man, thanks a lot. Really excited about all the work you've been doing with the Columbus Horizon lately. We thank you for your work, and you can go walk into traffic now. It's going to be a crazy Saturday, y'all. That's what they say in the South in Seattle. It's going to be intense, man. Like, I really think that we're going to go down a goal, and we're going to have to claw back, and we're going to win. And because Tifo Sweat's undefeated, Tifo Sweat has never lost.
Orbin tied.
Across all competitions. That streak will not be broken this weekend. Matt, back to you, Justin.
Justin, your thoughts.
Yeah.
I think that, like I said before, I think Seattle's a very good team. Maybe possibly the best team. Maybe possibly? I did. They might be the best. I said might. They might be the best team in the league. And it's going to be a very challenging game. I think what we've seen is that Sounders get a lot of credit for their
inventing soccer,
their strike force, their offensive capacity, but they actually have a decent defense. And they, from what I remember, I could be off on this, but they've had four shutouts this year. They gave up one goal.
They have. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's impressive. Bad teams don't do that. So you build good teams from the back, and Seattle's sort of built from the back. I mean, they with the Chad Marshall, the Brad Evans experiment, for lack of a better word, at center back seems to be kind of solidifying. Of course, Marshall and Evans have a lot of experience together. So
we haven't even talked about how this is Chad's first time back to Crew Stadium since he was.
Well, you did touch on it as to Chad
Seattle.
Cowering in fear over
oh,
so
Greg.
Many feels.
Well, yeah.
Get the hell out of here, hey. Greg.
Okay.
Chad
okay.
gets scared a lot.
Have
you
a great
know,
night, buddy.
A thing. Yeah, good night. Yeah.
You can come back.
Well, yeah, he's played the most, more games than any player in Crew history.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, that's a big deal.
It is.
But
it's
yet,
a blood, is
we
it a bloody
don't
big
think
deal,
about
though?
It. No.
Yeah.
How do you think the crowd's going to respond to Chad?
I don't know. It's weird.
Polite applause, and then probably Columbus
any Columbus
rejects.
Any chance Columbus rejects?
Yeah. No, that's going to happen.
Happening?
Well, because we haven't gotten into the nirvana of my soccer viewing, which is when all of the freaking Ohio State kids leave.
Mm.
The nirvana?
Yeah.
For a Seattle game? Really?
Yeah, I said that.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's kind of strange, though. I mean, I don't know if people really...
I'm not sure people aren't talking about it as far
no.
as I can tell.
No,
and I listen to almost
yeah.
everyone.
It seems like there's been an effort to kind of flip over the fan base a little bit, right? Like kind of to
it's like an old
sort
mattress.
Of move out
yeah.
some of the old people, present company excluded, I guess.
Especially you.
Me. And like yeah. the and bring in people who don't really know much Crew history.
Yeah.
I recall, though, like those last few.
The World Cup cycle is going to do that.
Yeah,
know?
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
And it's just, I don't know if that's good or bad. Honestly, I don't know.
It is. It is.
It just is.
It is.
But I recall people saying, like, you know, when we used to chant, "You'll never beat Chad Marshall."
Yeah.
One of the last few games where he was a member of the crew, people around me going, "Who's Chad Marshall?"
Do you mean Chad Barson?
Yeah.
Because you'll never beat Chad Barson. I wouldn't try it.
I think that's kind of a shame, but whatever.
No, it is. It is.
It is what it is. And, like,
well, I mean, he's you know, he's super concussed for a lot of that.
Yeah.
And he had a lot of problems as far as just, you know.
He played very hard for us when when
Chad
he
is awesome.
He did. Yeah. He did. Mm-hmm. No, I'm not
and
saying
if anybody
that at all.
Does Columbus reject to him, I'm going to kiss you in the mouth. So you don't want that.
No. Yeah, America. I don't know.
You don't want that, America.
Especially honestly, because Morgan has horrible mouth herpes.
I do.
Anyway, go ahead, Greg.
I honestly can see maybe one person starting, like in a drunken fit of
or
whatever.
Tony Galifo. Or Tony Galifo.
Or in a fit of going full Galifo.
Yeah.
Sweatpants, don't you dare.
Sweatpants will totally
his ears were burning.
Yeah.
No. Maybe some person tries to start it and gets quickly shouted down. I don't think there's really any.
I think you're wrong. I think it'll happen.
I think you're both wrong.
Okay. In all honesty, this game scares me because the Seattle Sounders scare me.
Yep.
As a team, not a fan base or anything. I admit it. I'm so jealous of you guys.
Yeah.
Not really. Seattle scares me because
there are teams and it's just not fan base versus fan base.
Yeah,
really.
When
there's
the
actually going to be 22 guys on the field.
Win the stands. Man.
Oh.
Are we gonna
I
do
had
score
no idea. I'm sorry. I was doing Orlando there. I thought you
were channeling Orlando. For
yeah,
a second.
It was. Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It's not just the fact that Seattle's obviously a very good team and Obafemi Martins for me is the early MVP.
Yeah.
Chew in.
Jerry Legend has chimed in on Twitter, and he says now he's going to chant Columbus Reject the entire game.
Oh, nice.
Just
good
to
for
be
him.
Contrary.
Good for him.
Good for you.
Gerald.
Thanks, Jerry.
It's also the fact that the road team has won the last four meetings between these two teams.
Yeah.
So I'm worried about coming off of a performance like that against D.C.,
yeah,
where our defense wasn't very good, and our defense is going to have to be on its game, as Justin said, to deal with Martins, to deal with Clint Dempsey, to deal with guys that can put the ball in the net.
They have a good midfield, too.
Yes.
Yeah, they do.
This is funny, because we're talking about the forwards, how good they are.
Yep.
And I mentioned earlier that their backs are playing very well, and now I'm just bringing up that their midfield's very good.
Yeah. They're just
Marco Papa,
a solid club all the way through.
Lamar Nagel, I think in the game yesterday... Lamar Nagel came on for Marco Papa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, that's...
That's depth.
That's depth. Yeah,
fine.
That's really
true
good.
Story.
I mean, and so, you know, how are our midfield players going to match up with those guys?
Yeah.
They're doing a tour of football stadium to baseball stadium, plastic grass to infield dirt. They're not going to have any idea what to do on an actual soccer field that was built for soccer with real grass. They're going to see a worm or something, and their heads are going to blow off, Matt.
Yeah.
Are you saying that Crew Stadium field has worms?
I'm saying Mafre Stadium field has, might.
Mm.
But in the dirt, though.
Yeah, for real.
Breaking news.
For real.
You would expect worms on the field post-Rock on the Range rather than pre.
As long as the floor isn't
worms.
Broken, we shouldn't
different
have any
worms.
Oh, my bad.
Totally different worms. All right, let's go to score predictions here real quick. Morgan, you're going to start...
Great point, Matt. Thanks.
That's great.
A big game here on Saturday, Matt. Really excited for everything that you have in store for us. Thanks for all your hard work with the Ohio Glory. I will say Columbus Cruisers FC Soccer Bowls, 3 goals. Seattle FCs since 1974. Rocking it in the free world, 2 goals.
All right, Justin.
I'm going to say that it's a 2-2 draw.
That's false.
Greg?
2-1 Seattle, but I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah. I'm going to say...
I don't want them to win, but my head...
Yes, you do.
I have to be...
Yeah,
no,
you,
no,
no, no, you now do.
I clearly
yeah,
do.
I don't have
do
money
now.
On this game.
Yeah.
I'm not.
Yeah.
You're asking my head, not my heart.
Go get attacked by another giant spider from your home.
What
game,
does
Greg?
What does your heart tell you?
What does your heart tell you?
My heart says 3-0 Columbus.
Hey,
all right, no, it's fair.
Listen
right,
to your heart.
I'm gonna say,
it's calling.
My goodness.
I'm gonna say every time we crap the bed like we did last week at DC, We do the opposite the next week. So 2-0 Columbus.
There you go.
Yeah, and that's what I got. Sam, you got anything?
I got nothing.
Sam's got nothing.
So nil-nil draw from Sam.
Yeah, still, yeah, nothing. Nothing. For everybody who's been on the show tonight.
Tony.
What's your prediction? You got some?
4-0.
4-0 Columbus.
All right, Sweatpants says 4-0. For everybody,
that washed
Hendox
over me like a warm breeze.
Yeah. For Morgan, Justin, Greg, Sam. My name is Matt. This has been the Massive Report. I travel a lot and rarely make it to Seattle.
Shave me? That's not true. I'll do that tomorrow. Just give me some warning. I'll shave you tomorrow. She's meowing, right?
I ain't gonna cry, and I won't beg you to stay. Don't mean to leave, boy. I will not stand in your way. You know in your heart, boy, our love will never end. No, no. I'm part of you eventually. Boy, don't you know you can't escape me? Ooh, baby, 'cause you'll never shave my baby.
You'll never shave my baby.
Hell no. Don't you try to shave my baby. That's against the law.
It's against the law. I'm a parent and I have rights.